step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
This was the scene on the Brooklyn Bridge in New York City and the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco as pro-Palestine, anti-Israel protesters swarmed both locations, blocking traffic and disrupting daily commutes. NYPD officers on bikes took a proactive approach on the Brooklyn Bridge, keeping protesters moving and detaining those in the back one by one, eventually clearing them from the bridge where more arrests were made. And take a look at this. At least one anti-Israel protester could be seen with a Hezbollah flag walking through the streets of Manhattan.
In Florida, they got the protesters out there like immediately. In New York, pretty fast. In San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge, they were there for 5 hours disrupting traffic.
Well, when they go with the Joe Getty hurled them into the bay plan, you'll see things clear much more swiftly. When they've had the courage to start hurling people into the bay.
Well, they were chained to barrels of cement. If you hurl them into the bay with those, I think we're into a different punishment?
It's a bit Tony Soprano-ish, yeah. Yes. Clearly, I do not call for the death penalty for non-capital offenses, and running people over with a car would be bad. How about if we bicycle over them? Kind of a compromise.
A middle position.
It is so frustrating to see lawlessness allowed if it's from the left. Mm-hmm. I thought you made a great point earlier.
Did I?
It was some sort of our taxes are being wasted, government has grown too big protest, hell, they'd nightstick us, drag us off, throw us in jail, and the media would applaud.
Sure, yesterday was tax day. Can you imagine if you and a bunch of friends had got on there about taxes being wasted? No way you get to disrupt traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge for 5 hours.
In Chicago, they blocked access to O'Hare International Airport, and people jumped out of their cabs or cars that their friends were driving and hauled the bags and walked across grass and up on ramps trying to get to the airport to catch their flights. I would not... let me put it this way. I am very surprised there has not been more violence toward people who are disrupting lives in that way. I'm not calling for it, but I'm predicting it.
Right. I'm pretty shocked, too. Although, as we heard, I think, Katie Green, you told us a story that some guy got a little jumpy and yelling at these people and everybody had their phones out. Which bridge was that?
That was on the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah. And this guy was stuck in that traffic and he went out and kind of approached them. And they all immediately pulled out their phones. You're being filmed!
Well, right, and this, I wish I could remember the name of the strategy, but it's you can understand it easily enough. They are trying deliberately to provoke violence, whether making people so angry that they can't go where they're going, shouting through a bullhorn right into your face, putting a finger an inch from your eye. They want to provoke that violence because then they can tape it on their phone, you know, record it, and air it and make you the aggressor and them the victim. You see that all the time. There are days I think, why don't we give them the violence they're trying to provoke? But again, it's not a good idea.
You want to run over them with a bicycle?
I don't want to do that. I was asking. I'm thinking out loud. I came across this, and I don't know that much about Gabby Starr, who's the president of Pomona College. I recall hearing that that's an ultra-lefty college, and they had big pro-terrorist rallies masquerading as anti-Israel. But I like this tape. A bunch of the protesters from outside busted into the administration building and were going to occupy it. Now, what am I always saying? What are we always saying? There are already enshrined repercussions for breaking the law. All you have to do is enforce them. Live up to the contract we have all signed, and it limits this stuff. If it's utterly without sanction, that you can block the Bay Bridge, or you get bailed out for $200 and some George Soros, Kamala Harris group bails you out, you're never going to limit this stuff, because there's no reason for the folks to be limited. They get to pretend they're Che Guevara for an afternoon with their stupid cafe and their stupid masks on, acting like they're part of the French Revolution, or the French Resistance, which reminds me, we got to play that Iranian-American gal again later. But here is Gabby Starr, president of Pomona College, when a bunch of students bust into the building and say, we're going to occupy it. Clip 44, Michael.
Excuse me? Everyone in this building is immediately subject to suspension. Harassment is following me with a camera. That is now clear. If you do not leave within the next 10 minutes, every student in this building is immediately suspended from this institution. If you are from Pomona, if you are from elsewhere, you immediately will be banned from this campus.
Wow.
Is that clear? 10 minutes.
And all the students' eyes got wide and they walked out of the building.
I'm sure thought they can do that. Can they do that?
Effing easy, God, that's, folks.
That is amazing to hear that, and the fact that we haven't heard that at Harvard or USC or, you know, name the university where they've let
UC
these people,
Berkeley, sure.
Yeah. Let these people do whatever the hell they want. Yeah, you can handle it very quickly. You're going to get kicked out of college. You got to stop right now or you're going to get kicked out. So make your choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to give you 10 minutes to think about it, but everybody remaining in this building will be suspended from school and most probably expelled. So I'm going to get back to work. Excuse me.
Wow.
Simple as that, friends. And I know you know that. I'm not yelling at you all. It's so frustrating to see a society behave in such an unwise and self-destructive manner based on this ridiculous, fuzzy, dopey ideology.
Some of the situations are the grown-ups are scared of those activists, so they don't want to be on the wrong side of them. In some cases, they agree with them. They wouldn't mind chaining themselves to them themselves because they agree with their stupid political positions. It's much easier to do, though, that college thing, though, because you have some leverage with the kick you out of college. The whole bridge protest thing, certainly in cities like San Francisco where they don't prosecute actual crime, I mean, how the hell are you going to get around to, well, how would you have any teeth in your threat if the people sitting on the bridge know that rapists don't spend a day in jail? I'm not going to spend a day in jail.
Not in blue states, no. Right. That's an excellent point. And they have activist organizations that if they, you know, have to pay a little fine or get bailed out or whatever, they pay it for them. So there are no negative repercussions for lawbreaking.
I want to get to Katie Couric explains why people support Trump. And she doesn't have the slightest idea how she comes off saying this. I think you'll like that. Katie Couric used to host the Today Show. Before we take a break, though, just saw up on the TV, Mariah Carey is kicking off a Vegas residency. I was in Vegas just a couple of weeks ago. That residency thing, that's got to be the best gig in all of show business.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
You don't have to travel. You go out every single night, same sound system, hooked up the same way. You know, just so easy. You're living somewhere. You're not on a bus. You're not on a plane.
Right, you're renting a house with a pool instead of schlepping from show to show in hotels and buses.
And there's so many people with the residency that I didn't know. Just, you know, slight tier below, like, your really, really big acts when I was walking around Vegas going through to, because we went to the Sphere and then went to David Copperfield and saw these various comedians that I'd like to see and bands I'd like to see. And, you know, I just heard the other day Daniel Tosh, the comedian on his thing, talking about he's had a residency for years at some hotel there. Sure, I'm sure he makes tons of money. Doesn't have to go all over the country. But anyway, Mariah Carey's starting one, and not my cup of tea. I wouldn't walk down to the lunchroom to hear Mariah Carey. But I was in a bathroom at a restaurant last night, and a Mariah Carey song came on, coincidentally, a newer one that I hadn't heard, and she's still doing that bird chirping thing.
Oh, really?
You know, where she, because she can sing, what is it like, I remember when she first hit the scene in the early 90s. She's got like a 20-octave range or something, you know, that whole thing?
Yeah, whatever the number is, yeah.
But those high-pitched chirping sounds, do some of y'all enjoy that? Because to me, it's kind of like you do that once and I think, wow, that's interesting, and that's enough. Like,
like you win a bar bet with it.
Yeah, it's like if you tell me I can make my thumb touch my elbow. Oh, wow, you can. And then that's it. I don't need that.
Right.
I don't need any more of that. I can go like
I'm not going to buy a ticket to see it.
Right.
Yeah, great. So you can make that noise. Congratulations.
I can plug my nose and make my eyes bug out. Oh, cool. Same sort of trick to me.
Put that in song after song or movie after movie. It's Bug Eyed Jack in Off to the Races. Put out a new movie every summer.
Right. Roughly the same plot, same people in it. That's the way movies used to be. Katie Couric explaining why you like Trump. Coming up.
Armstrong and Getty.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I just saw this headline about soaring costs of vet care. Wow, it's always been crazy, ridiculous, expensive, and it's soaring? Oof. Yipes. That's been my experience the last couple of times I've been.
You're wrong. Inflation is down.
My dog had teeth problems, and they said, you know, you got to get this done or that done. It's going to be about $2,000. And I thought, didn't people just used to let the tooth fall out or something of a dog? I mean, did you... And I'm sure my parents never spent the equivalent of $2,000 because the dog had a tooth problem.
No. Our neighbor, they had all their dog's teeth pulled because she had some sort of dental problem, so the dog is toothless. Why am I laughing? I don't know.
Mark.
I guess that breed, it's one of your little dogs, famous for tooth problems. But no, I don't recall hearing a syllable about dog dental care as a youth.
The Japanese toothless hound. I'm familiar with it. Beautiful nice. Breed. So here is Katie Couric, who used to host the Today Show, and she was America's cute. I just heard crowd noise. Did everybody hear that? Yeah, or am I having a
don't
stroke?
Worry about it. I'll explain what it was. I just came across it.
Okay. Just want to make sure I wasn't having a, you know, A psychotic break.
An episode?
An episode. Katie Couric used to be a really, really big deal. If you're old enough, you know that. If you don't, if you're younger, you don't. But she was really big deal on the Today Show, and she was on Bill Maher's podcast show that he does down in the basement where they smoke pot and talk. Love that show. And they got into the topic of why people support Trump. And she explained it this way.
Socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot, and anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters. I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost bile feeling.
That was horrifying.
I remember when Bill Maher himself said something similar a couple of years ago, and he pushed back against what she said, by the way, because he doesn't believe that that's what's going on with the Trump thing. He said the borders, and then what was the other thing that he brought up? He said all this trans stuff. He said, I think that's it. But I remember Bill Maher saying something similar. And as a guy who comes from middle class, small town, middle America, we aren't all spending our time just sad that we don't live in Los Angeles and have bigger houses like some of y'all. I've never known a single person like that.
Sitting around comparing ourselves unfavorably with Katie Couric and hating her for it.
We're looking at the people of Manhattan and thinking, oh, my sad, sad life that's not like yours living in Manhattan. That's not just not the case at all. And I find that interesting that she, as the elite, thinks she's describing why these people, like Trump, because it's just the burning envy toward what people like I have. Could you sound more elitist as an elite
They're
trying to describe?
So stupid and poor and dirty, and they wish they were us, but they're not, and so they vote for Trump.
And just the bile that they have for the things that they covet and wish they had, like I have and you have, but they don't have, and that's why. Wow.
It's not decades of false promises and judgment and legalization of crime and 100 other policies. No, it's their jealousy of us, the born to the manor. The manor born. Why are these people we're beating on so resentful? Well, they see how wonderful we are and they resent it.
I thought that was hilarious. And like, she sounds completely sincere and so unself-aware. I would like to tell her, look, you are not within 1,000 miles of right. Do you know that? No, you don't know that. You're not within 1,000 miles of right.
There's an element of what she described in some people, I guess, but it's like the whole why do people vote for Trump racism. You people have no idea what you're talking about.
The idea that the Manhattan and Los Angeles elite is what everybody else wishes they have. I got news for you. Most people, maybe you disagree with them, and you can disagree with them. I like New York. I like a lot about L.A. But a lot of people look at life in New York and L.A. and think, I'd rather be dead than live like that. Lots of people, tons of people, the vast majority of America looks at L.A. and New York and thinks, God, that's like a sentence to me, like a prison sentence to have to live like that.
That's what they tell themselves to mask their envy, Jack.
All right. Yeah, if you say so.
Boy, that was something.
Mm-hmm. It's going to take a long time for the Trump phenomenon. I mean, he's going to be off the scene soon. But it's going to be a long time for the Trump phenomenon to go away if the elite, if the people writing for the Washington Post and doing the evening news in Manhattan continue to have that warped view of what they're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do, and they will. And then there's no shaking them from it. I would like to ask Katie Couric, a follow-up, Katie, tell me, is your defecate odiferous or not? That was something.
The bile they have with the envy for what we have is just, I mean, it's hard to describe.
The anti-intellectualism. Oh, yes, yes. These poor, stupid people.
F all the way off.
Yes.
As they say.
Jesus probably would have killed you himself.
Yes. We gotta,
that
we gotta,
reminds
now
me.
Now we got to do that next. We got to get to that woman again.
A compare and contrast of a fairly typical young, unhinged activist woman, plus a psychoanalysis of her kind, juxtaposed with a woman who is raised, at least partly, in Iran, calling out America's college kids. Priceless.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison, so do stay tuned for that. That's next.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no, 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 no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess in New York on the Brooklyn Bridge, just saw this footage. They were burning some American flags in classic jackass, look how rebellious I am, young person, whatever. I know you can, free speech, I get it, I'm for it, but I understand what the gesture means too, you're a jackass.
Yeah, no kidding. Somebody pointed out that the blockage of the Golden Gate Bridge started around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and the arrests didn't start until 10:30-ish. Wow. What the hell? What is that?
I don't know what that is.
And part of it's they chained themselves or cemented themselves to something or other. I don't know. Can we saw off their limbs? Our legal department says no. No sawing off people's limbs. So that is off the table.
Our legal department.
Off the table.
Nope, so, you can't. The lawyer's job is to say no. I guess we won't saw off their limbs.
Barbaric.
Dang it. Hey, Jim, bring all the saws back to the station. So I've been thinking about this a lot. The radicalization, particularly of young women. And but yeah, there are plenty of young men doing absolutely idiotic things in the name of this moronic, brutal, woke ideology in all of its forms. But I came across this guy. He's a PhD in, what is it? Developmental and evolutionary psychopathology. And he was describing the new gal who's the CEO of NPR, who's a woke radical lefty with a long history online, as many symptoms of the cluster B longhouse psychopathology: antagonistic, performative, accusatory, and frankly delusional. And I looked into that a little bit more and came across some really interesting stuff about the idea of the cluster B society. And that, don't get hung up on the term. It has to do with a bunch of psychological terms. But
you mean B, B-E-E, like the animal, not...
No, No. It's a psychological term.
Okay.
You got your cluster A and C, cluster B, personality disorders.
Gotcha. I'll have to look into that.
Well, I've got a ton on it, and if we were Joe Rogan, did like a five-hour-long podcast, I'd just go ahead and read all of it to you. But I like this, and this piece, who is this written by? I can't find the name, and it doesn't... Oh, Chris Rufo, the fabulous Chris Rufo. Psychologists have captured the spirit of our modern culture in four specific psychopathologies that together make up cluster B personality disorders: the narcissist, the borderline, the histrionic, and the antisocial. And he mentions narcissistic personality disorder is characterized by a sense of entitlement, obsession with one's own importance, and deep feelings of resentment, often expressed through moral self-righteousness. Borderline personality disorder is marked by an unstable sense of identity, black and white thinking, feelings of emptiness, and recurring self-harm and suicide attempts. Histrionic personality disorder exhibits excessive emotionality, attention seeking, often to serve a pathological need for sympathy. An antisocial personality disorder is typified by impulsivity, manipulation, disregard for others, and a penchant for violence and aggression that violates social norms. And the thinking of these people is that the woke young person is just a distillation of this cluster B personality disorder syndrome. For instance, here is this young woman at a Bakersfield City Council meeting. We played this way earlier in the show, but it's so crazy. And I think it shows this personality so clearly. We'll go with clip 51. It kind of explains itself as it goes.
Hi there, my name is Riddhi Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the City Council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself. And the thing is, though, it's very clear to me as someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care, because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs, because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And I understand that you guys are all horrible people, but the thing is, 2,300 people being evicted in the last year, those are votes. And you guys, those are votes to win here in Bakersfield. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri, it starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you motherfuckers.
Wow, that's quite an ending. I mean, it was a good lead-up, but the ending was really something.
So, cluster B personality disorders, anyone? Do I need to go through that list of characteristics again? And note, reasonably intelligent, articulate, fairly knowledgeable, but utterly unhinged.
Has a different New Testament than I have.
Oh, the whole Jesus as Liam Neeson-style vigilante? Yeah, I missed that one myself. Must have had the
Jesus
wrong translation.
Killed you himself.
That's again.
Can we play that louder so we can hear?
Jesus probably would have killed you himself.
Yeah, that's not that. I don't remember that whole laying waste thing where he comes out of the temple with a gun on each hip. And
as if we needed to hear more. Here's more.
The increased criminalization for no need other than you don't like when people come and hold you guys accountable for introducing ceasefire resolutions, because the only escalation in violence has been by you all. And so there's no need to continue. In the last 5 years I've attended city council meetings, there's never been metal detectors. There's never been more cops. The only reason you're doing it is because people actually don't care if you guys don't like them, and they're actually resisting. So you want to criminalize them. So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you. They'll let you die. And for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors. We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
Oh,
Miss Patel, that was a threat, what you said at the end. And so the officers are going to escort you out and take care of that.
Do we have she's been charged with 16 felonies.
16 felonies.
Yeah, terroristic threats, etc. But just real quick.
All around that last threat.
The cluster of them.
Okay, interesting.
Speaking of clusters. Sense of entitlement, obsession with one's own importance, and deep feelings of resentment often expressed through moral self-righteousness. Huh, wait a minute. Where did I just hear that? And I could go through the rest of the list. Histrionic personality disorder, emotionality, attention-seeking. We have taught our children mental illness, as Haidt and Lukianoff wrote so brilliantly about a couple of years ago. That is something.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that? That's my question. I mean, casting aspersions and calling names is great fun. It's one of the joys of my life. But I would like to, I would also like to solve these problems if I can, because I'm concerned about our young people. As Jack, you point out often and quite appropriately, they did not raise themselves. They did not educate themselves. We ought to root out our schools like the communist days of the 40s, when there were actually communists who were absolutely running roughshod in the State Department and in the media. Anyway, I thought this made a hell of a contrast, though. So you got the college students now blocking roads, airports, etc., in the name of Israel shouldn't attack Iran. Iran is the victim here. And this Iranian-American British attorney took to the internet to address those plucky young activist college students. 45, Michael.
In what capacity have you distorted the story to make the Islamic Republic the victim? That's I think what we're most curious about. When we were screaming for the past 2 years that they were lynching us, where were you? When we were screaming that they were killing Iranian women for not wearing a hijab, where were you? When they were lynching Iranian men from cranes for protesting, where were you? When we were explaining that this is a terrorist occupying force, where were you? But all of a sudden, everyone's graduated from Instagram School of Law to say that this is a violation of international law and Iran has the right to defend itself.
So I like her referring to her country or government, referring to her government, the Islamic Republic. That's what we should all say instead of saying Iran.
Yeah.
Because it's the Islamic Republic that is the problem. And so she's got the college kids there marched in the street, actually risking their lives, some of them giving their lives and being tortured. Our college kids march in support of her government.
Yes.
Yipes.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That illustrates how this madness is actually madness. Their political ideology, their worldview has so distorted their view of reality that I think it could be classified as a mental illness. I also need to salute her for some absolute grade A plus sarcasm there with the having graduated from the Instagram School of Law. Thank you. Well played.
Man, just from my observation, there's a lot about the modern world, certainly the public schools, that teach kids to be narcissists. I mean, it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like the goal is to teach you that everything is about you and you are being wronged every single day.
And the slightest insult should be a catastrophe in your
life. Right, right.
And you must seek justice because this has ruined your life. This somebody saying something rude to you has ruined your life.
And if anything bad happens to you, or if you ever feel bad, it's somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault.
And we're teaching the kids the opposite of resilience. I mean, indoctrinating them over the course of years. I'm so troubled by this.
So then you combine that with the feel-good chemicals you get from all the affirmation when you become a protester of some sort. On social media, all the likes and smiles and community and all that sort of stuff. So you got a carrot and stick thing going on. Yeesh.
Wow. Yeah. Well said. Maybe a little, I don't know, run them over with bicycles would help. Again, I'm not suggesting that because you can't run over protesters with cars. You can't have the death penalty for blocking traffic, clearly. Although I just, that audio that leaked onto the air, it was, I failed to shut off properly a video I was watching. I think it was in Europe somewhere. I was trying to figure out what country. A bunch of protesters were blocking traffic and a couple of big burly guys got up and they dragged their asses off the street and hurled them onto the sidewalk.
I've said for many years, and again, I would not commit violence, and I don't want anybody to, but I think a little bit of vigilante justice has always helped.
Well, let me make clear. There was not a punch thrown. There was not a kick delivered. They just dragged them off and dumped them on the sidewalk and chewed them out, then waved the cars to go through. It was beautiful.
A bunch of different things we talk about we feel like are moving the right direction. I don't think this what the cluster B thing that we're causing, I don't think that one's moving the right direction. I don't think we've...
It'll take decades to undo.
Yeah. We'll finish strong next.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have maybe the biggest story of the year so far, a bombshell announcement from Gary, the Golden Bachelor, and his bride.
And we've kind of come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage.
Get a divorce.
Yes.
3 months after getting married.
Yes.
3 months. Gary takes peas longer than that marriage lasted.
Wow.
Like I said yesterday, it's embarrassing and pathetic when it's 27-year-olds on The Bachelor that fall in love, using my finger quotes, on a game show and then get married and then get divorced right away. But good God, how are you in your 70s with all that life experience? And you still get swept up in the TV show and you get married for 90 days.
There's no fixing stupid. I mean, I'm sure he was stupid or vacuous or whatever in his 20s, too. Who signs on for that? What kind of person would even sign up for that?
That's a good point.
I have no opinion on that, other than good luck, y'all.
How much time do I got, Michael? I mean,
you can't subscribe to a magazine. What's a magazine, old man? You can't subscribe to a magazine for 3 months because it's not worth the trouble. It's not worth anybody's trouble for 3 months, right?
You got 1 minute, Jack.
There are no 3 month golf club memberships, all right?
Right, that's pretty funny. I didn't mention that my son is going to play the tuba, it looks like.
Yes!
So I knew you would like that since you were a tuba player.
Tuba players kick ass, man.
He's going to play, oompa, I think, in the marching band, or the pep band anyway. So He goes to a small school, and they only got one tuba player, and that person graduates this year. So the band director came and asked, "You're big enough. Could you play the tuba?" So he's going to start taking tuba lessons from the person that's about to leave. And then we're going to work on it over the summer, and I'm all excited about it. But.
Yeah, I had great enthusiasm for the tuba. I was a trombonist, and then my buddy John, who's my buddy on the golf team, was sitting there playing the tuba, and he said, "Come over here." And so I grabbed a tuba and sat down next to him during a band rehearsal, and I was playing tuba. Halfway through, the band director said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Playing tuba." He said, "All right." And I played tuba for the rest of high school.
Well, at least in my high school, the couple of dudes that sat in the back playing the tuba seemed to have more fun than anybody else in the band.
Yes, we did. And I was obsessive about it, too. I practiced a lot. I decided I was going to be the fastest tubist in the world. I mean, playing these lightning runs on the tuba. It went absolutely nowhere. I mean, it's not like, and that's why I'm the world's most famous tuba. No, it didn't really, but it was fun.
It's Final Thoughts with Billie Jean.
So far, my son has played the bass drum in the drum line, and now going to play the tuba, all because he's the only one big enough to do it. But, you know,
yeah.
Size plays a role. Here's your host for Final Thoughts, Joe Getty.
Let's get a final thought from everybody on the crew, starting with Michelangelo, our technical director. Michael.
Real quick, Katie has never heard this. This is Joe playing the trombone for us.
Oh, no, no. it's kind of gets a little raggedy there.
Well, I'm glad you chose radio host, Joe.
Yeah, it's funny. The symphony wouldn't have me. Katie Greener, esteemed newswoman, has a final thought. Katie?
I came dangerously close to purchasing a legit big dumb cup the other day, and then you guys popped into my head, and I went, no, I can't do that.
The actual Stanley?
The actual Stanley.
Yeah, I guess they're pretty great, pretty well built and everything.
I'll stick to my knockoff. $20.
Jack, a final thought for us.
I just read something from Salman Rushdie. Salman. The author, he was on 60 Minutes the other night. He was the author that almost got stabbed to death by a Muslim radical nut job a couple of years ago. Anyway, he's making the rounds about what he's learned from the near-death experience, and I want to talk about that tomorrow.
He's an amazing guy. If I had half his IQ, I'd have double my IQ.
Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
So many people to thank, so little time. Go to armstrongandgetty.com. Got a lot of great hot links for you. Pick up an A&G t-shirt or hat, would you please? Helps keep everybody on the payroll. Drop us a note if there's something we ought to be talking about. Mailbag at armstrongandgetty.com.
We will see you tomorrow. God bless America.
Armstrong and Getty.
This is a dangerous and unstable moment in American history.
You guys are all horrible human beings.
Let me say one thing.
Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill.
Show some cojones.
Si, se puede.
Don't.
He said, wow.
Then Jesus probably would have killed you himself.
Oh. What the hell are you talking about?
I cannot understand a word you're saying.
You gotta be kidding me.
Thank
you all very much.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
to the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.